Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's up?
What's going on, Dre? How's Black History Month for you so far? Besides cold?
Yeah, that's not working for me.
Yeah.
It was a mild day today.
Yeah.
Speaking of weather, but
you know, like when it's like 35 and you're like, you know what? This is actually getting warm.
That's crazy.
So bad.
That's crazy. Living in a tundra is not for the faint of heart.
You're going to LA. Is it because of the weather in addition to everything else?
I need to get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going there for?
You know what I'm going for.
Oh my God. The listener doesn't know.
I know. So it's NBA All-Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the weekend, there is an event, mm-hmm. HBCU Classic.
Okay.
Featuring the Hampton University Pirates.
Come on.
And then, what do they call them? Aggies at North Carolina A&T.
Okay.
No, it's of course me and the dudes,
yeah,
alma maters, and it's a bit of a delayed 25th wedding anniversary celebration.
That's good.
That was last year, and it was all about the kids last year, and we realized we've been fooling ourselves. We have tricked ourselves into thinking that we have been traveling for vacations over the years, and really, we haven't.
Mm.
We've been going to soccer tournaments, track meets, theater performances, parents' weekends at colleges, and tacking on a day here and there talking about we went away together.
Yeah.
Or going, you know, traveling for family events and things like that. But I can't remember the last time we went somewhere just us that's not tied to a commitment.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy.
Yeah. I plan to.
So this is a contest of two HBCUs that have left Black conferences. So I kind of hope both y'all lose. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. Nah, this should be good. This should be good.
We are all winning.
Yeah. Nah, it should be good.
Yeah. And we couldn't say no to this.
I will tell you the Hampton and A&T swag will be on display and on sale, and you will come away with some timeless
pieces. I'm coming
pieces.
Back so, with some stuff.
Yeah. Make sure you bring a little coin purse with you.
Down there. A coin purse.
When did you stop carrying a coin purse? How long ago?
I can't even recall. I cannot remember. Probably around the same time I stopped using coins. Like,
I used to keep all kind of coins on me at all time.
Really?
For toll booths, for parking meters.
I've been about that Easy Pass life for a minute.
Yeah, but I mean, before Easy Pass.
Yeah, before like, Easy Pass.
Probably 20 years ago.
But not a coin purse, though. There was like the coin-filled cup holder in the car.
I still have that.
In the console. Mm-hmm. I actually have, in one or two of our vehicles, there's actually little slots for the different coins.
Nice.
Maybe it's an insert.
My
in
dad
the
would
thing,
be so happy to get in that car.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they thought of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to Florida this week. I'm like, look, I'm calling clients that...
You're chasing warm weather.
I'm like, hey...
Get me out of the tundra.
No, we need to meet. And they're like, for what? I don't need to see you. I'm like, no, we need to meet. So I'm going to Florida.
I need to see you.
Yeah, I'll be in Florida this week.
Wow.
I just looked... I literally searched the map for the warmest places, and I saw Texas and Florida, and I don't have a ton of clients in Texas, and so Florida.
Okay. Well, they were pretty cold last week, so you picked a good week.
Yeah, no, it's going to be in the 80s. It'll be in the 80s. What about LA weather?
Not so hot. Like 70 max?
I know you're not complaining about 70.
So I'm not complaining about 70. I'm just happy that we're doing something that's just for us.
Yeah.
So I have put people on notice.
All right.
Not doing no client meetings.
Good.
I don't care how great the prospect. I'm not available.
Good.
I do have one thing I'm going to be doing, but
yeah,
that's okay. I take my laptop wherever I go because, you know, you never know if
you
get stuck.
Okay, so it sounds like you're not going to write this trip off on your taxes then.
I will not be writing this.
I'm just joking.
I have some clients in the area that I will be seeing.
Yeah.
So.
Then it's a business trip. There you go.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Even if you.
Thanks.
Think about business on the trip, write it off. That's my motto.
Well,
I'm just joking.
There's documented conversations about being in the area and meeting up.
Yeah.
So.
Good.
So there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
So last week we had a very black show and we wrote two shows for today. And I think we're going to go with the black one again. It's Black History Month.
Hey, let's do it.
We are black, black, black.
Yep.
And so
see, I got the hair to represent
hair
it. Yes.
I'm wearing all black, as are you.
As am I. Which has nothing to do with Black History Month,
it's black,
but okay.
Outside.
It is that. Mm-hmm. It is that.
And we both are gonna go get some tans and come back even blacker.
Yeah.
So we're gonna
that's
keep,
not gonna happen for me.
I am.
But you go, yeah, you
I'm
need it. You need it, because you know.
Yeah.
You need it.
Thanks. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the winter skin, so I'll take it.
Yes.
So this week's show, we're talking about black leadership. And maybe during the show, we'll come up with a good title. Right now, it's just black leadership. And there are two things that inspired today's show. The first is like this dichotomy that I saw this week. On one hand, a lot of folks are talking about the fact that the NFL had 10 head coaching vacancies. The NFL has a Rooney Rule, which means that if there's a vacancy, they have to at least interview a black person.
Mm.
And yet we went 0 for 10 in those head coaching vacancies. 0 for 10.
Come on. We've got probably a record number of black starting quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like consciously or subconsciously, it's kind of like, that's too much black leadership, right? We can't have black quarterbacks and black coaches.
Why can't we?
I'm just saying, I just wonder if some people are thinking about this.
Yeah.
And then we've had a multicultural Super Bowl halftime show,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't black, but, you know, was definitely.
You don't think it was part of the diaspora?
It was part of the diaspora, yeah. But that's not how it. I feel like people who are not part of the diaspora didn't see it that way.
But there's
a whole bit that Josh Johnson does about the Super Bowl and the progress. It's hilarious, but
yeah,
I can't take that away from him.
Yeah, so 10 jobs, 0 for 10.
I had not even realized that.
Yeah, and the league is 70% black,
mm-hmm.
so we can be on the field but not on the sidelines,
mm-hmm.
is what the NFL is basically saying to us. I mean, I'll tell you, I did boycott the NFL like back when Kaepernick was, you know, protesting. Like
whole
I was,
season?
I boycotted for a few seasons.
Okay.
And then he got paid and I started watching again. And like stuff like this makes me just like, now I want to watch again, like for real. Mm. But I will say the irony of the 10 number kind of struck me because of this. When you look at corporate America, there are 10 CEOs like publicly traded companies, mm-hmm. that are like large publicly traded companies that are black.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, we didn't get those 10 jobs, but we got these 10. And I'll take the CEO of a publicly traded company job. Neither is enough, by the way.
Yeah.
Like there's hundreds of publicly traded companies and we got 10 jobs. We'll take them.
Mm.
We know that those 10 people are absolute great killer leaders, mm-hmm. and they're absolutely helping the community in so many different ways. But like, yo, we are very good and we deserve more. So we're just going to like, again, like just like last week, highlighting the black unicorns. This week, we're talking about some of the black leaders that you may not know about. And so that was one inspiration, was the dearth of black head coaches, right? Because there's three,
mm-hmm.
right? We missed out on a bunch of opportunities. Yeah, just the irony, because you got two brothers that are head coaches in the NFL, but only three brothers, like actual brothers, like
right.
two biological brothers.
Yes.
And three soul brothers. Let's
okay.
just say that. The big three, just so we shout them out, is Todd Bowles.
Yep.
D'Amico Ryan.
He's from Jersey.
Aaron Glenn of the Jets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did Bulls. You know Todd Bowles was from New Jersey?
Yeah, he's from Elizabeth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that was one inspiration was NFL, but the other was like, have you been seeing these Red Lobster commercials?
Not lately, but I am familiar with their new CEO.
Yeah, CEO, young black guy, 35 years old, Demola. Yeah. He's got a last name, and I don't want to bastardize it, so.
You see me over here trying quietly, right?
Yeah. Awesome. But like, he used to be the CEO of P.F. Chang's. He's a graduate, he's a double Ivy League graduate, Brown University and Harvard. And our brother's leading a great turnaround at a brand that was bankrupt a few years ago. And that's mm-hmm. the other thing about black leaders. Like, they often bring us in like to resuscitate.
To fix stuff.
Like the broken situation.
It's crazy.
Like, I look at Aaron Glenn with the Jets. Like, the Jets just
Same
suck.
Thing.
Like, I'm a Jets fan. Like, yeah. We suck. Like, sucking so bad that, like, you bring a person into an organization that has failed for so many years. And if he doesn't turn it around, you can't really blame him.
Yeah.
But they will. They absolutely
will. Of course. But the other people who, quote unquote, failed before him, they're all working somewhere.
Yeah.
As head coaches or at least coordinators.
They fail up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing I'm really curious about is what Mike Tomlin's going to do next, because he just had an amazing run. Like, he retired. Well, really not retired. He stepped down from this job after 19 seasons. And like, he's got just an amazing track record. 19 seasons, not one losing season.
Not a one.
And many, many trips to the playoffs.
Absolutely. And a Super Bowl win.
And a Super Bowl win, including like a couple seasons where they made the playoffs. And I'm like,
we didn't even know who the quarterback was.
Yeah, like who
They didn't
guys?
Even know who the quarterback was. Yeah.
Yeah. He it's has crazy. A regular season winning percentage of 628, which is one of the best all time, one of the top 24 best all time.
Yeah, I think.
And if you look at coaches who coach for at least 10 seasons, he's number 14.
Nobody keeps people that long anymore.
Yeah.
Just in general. Right? Like, not that many coaches are in place for more than 5 years anymore.
Yeah, so I'm real curious to see what he does next. Like, he could do, like, a million things. Run for office. He could be a motivational speaker.
He could. I think the way his contract is set up, he can't coach for someone else in the first year.
Okay.
So a lot of people were speculating. I listen to a lot of sports analysts, talk shows, news, podcasts. And they were saying he's going to take a year off and just be regular. Like, that's go good. To his kids.
I love that.
Athletic events. Just be a regular guy and then maybe come back into the league. Or, you know, some people were like, he could just be like, I'm good. Because he's good.
Oh, he's made some money.
Yeah, but I kind of think. But I mean good as in satisfied.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you ever are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Folks that got passed up for these jobs, we got Brian Flores, who is the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, veteran candidate. He used to be a head coach. He, again, like, Brian Flores has been, like, really messed over by this league, like, a bunch of times.
For sure.
Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator for the Broncos, Anthony Weaver, all these coordinators, like, all of these guys getting skipped over. Eric Bieniemy. Ejiro Eviro, I don't know that person, but he's a defensive coordinator for the Panthers. But then a bunch of brothers got the job too. Got to shout out Denard Wilson, New York Giants defensive coordinator. He's actually a friend of a friend, like one of my good friends from college. That's his brother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a couple other folks retained their jobs. A bunch of folks retained their jobs even though they were going for head coaching jobs. So we're making some strides in the NFL. Sometimes you take a couple steps backwards. You hope to, you know, take some steps forward in the future. And there's definitely a deep bench of black talent at the coaching position. And we hope that the next year brings out better results. So let's talk about corporate America now. So there is a managerial gap in our corporate workforce. A McKinsey study showed that while black employees make up 14% of entry-level workforce, they're only 7% of managers and only 4-5% of senior VPs. It's almost like a funnel. Like, you can kind of
see
it gets smaller and smaller.
Thinner and thinner.
And then, as we mentioned, once you get to the Fortune 500 companies, we have 10 of those jobs. Now, I will say women are doing a little bit better just as a group. 11% of the Fortune 500 companies have women CEOs, and that's about 55 companies. So that's good. We need more, of course, but...
Of course. Yeah. You know, I saw an interesting statistic. Actually, I saw the whole story, but one of the statistics coming out of the story was the unemployment rate for Black women is at 7.3%, while the general unemployment rate is somewhere around 4.3%, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of that is coming from downsizing and closing of government agencies, where there were so many Black women workers, employees talented. Of the federal government, talented, educated, that are no longer employed. They went a step further and talked about the historical perspective, how in some states during, I believe it was World War II, Black women were required to enter the workforce because their, while other cultures, their families, their wives got to stay home and take care of the home and the children while their husbands fought in the war, Black women, I believe it was South Carolina, were forced to go into the workforce. Isn't that something?
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's just, and talk about the erosion of the Black family. Like, I feel like our government and our laws started that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound fair to me.
Yeah.
And I know that's not where you were going today,
and
but.
There's a lot of talented Black folks that were casualties of these government cuts.
And I know they weren't the only one, but
yeah,
disproportionately, Black women were affected.
Yeah.
I have some people I need to check on.
So let's talk about this. Also, I want to highlight a couple of Black, like, companies. Like, the funny thing about, like, there's this conversation I had with certain people, like, what's a Black movie, for example? Like, what's a Black movie? Black director? Like, Black actor?
Right.
Like, how many Black actors?
Black storyline?
Yeah. Because there's a couple of companies that I would say are Black companies that are also public. You got RLJ, Lodging Trust, Bob Johnson's company. It's a REIT, publicly traded REIT.
Okay.
Black company, Black CEO, a lot of Black leaders, including friends of mine.
Okay.
What's her name? Hold on. Forget it. Urban One, Black media company, radio stations.
Kathy Hughes?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Citizens Bank.
It's probably right here in front of me and I'm not looking at it. You know how I roll.
Yeah, Citizens Bank Shares Corp, which is a Black-owned bank that's publicly traded, and others.
But I did not know that. Citizens is a Black-owned bank?
Citizens, like the regular Citizens.
That's like a regional bank.
Citizens Trust Bank.
Citizens Trust Bank. Okay. Yeah.
Ticker is CZBS.
Got it.
And yeah, so we got some public companies that we've started and run. But let's get into some of these other companies. Like these companies that we're going to get into, they've got Black CEOs. And these Black CEOs are like running really major organizations. I mean, when you add up the revenue and impact of these companies generate $412 billion in total revenue. Their combined market value is almost a half a trillion. And they've got Black leaders at the helm.
We used billion and trillion in the same sentence.
You feel me? We'll also talk about in this show.
And other, Black people.
Yeah, that's right.
In the same sentence.
That's right. We'll also talk about in the show, outside of corporate America, we've got Black leaders on the sports side that are running teams, like my man Sashi Brown, Hampton grad. You've got just a range of other Black leadership stories we're going to get into today. So I'm excited. We'll go to break. We'll come back and we'll get into these stories.
Shout out to Maria Taylor, who I believe is the first Black woman to host, to lead the broadcast for Super Bowl.
Shout out to
Maria. And also present the Lombardi Trophy to the champion.
I love that.
Yeah. Young sister out there doing it.
I love that.
But I guess we'll go to break and come back and we'll talk about some of these other Black leaders.
Love it.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum Advisor. Momentum Advisor. momentum.
And we're back. And forgive me for my voice, y'all. I don't know what's going on with this.
Yeah, you sound pretty bad.
My voice was messed up last week, too, a little bit. But it's getting worse.
I don't remember last week. Can't lie. But today is, you want something else.
Maybe God's trying to tell me to be quiet. Maybe I should listen. Dre, have you ever thought about doing a podcast by yourself? Because my voice is not going to be here by the end of the show. Practice.
I have not, but, you know, I know how to step up in a moment, so.
Yeah.
But for now.
So let's get into this list. So first on the list, we've got Fannie Mae, the mortgage lender.
Yes, and Peter Akwaboa.
Yeah, Peter Akwaboa, CEO of Fannie Mae. Peter has a master's degree in civil engineering from the University of Birmingham in England.
In England.
Not University of Birmingham, Alabama. He was born in the UK and raised in Ghana.
I mean, UAB is a real school, though.
Oh, it is.
University of Alabama at Birmingham. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you'll love this, Dre. He was a...
I see it.
Track athlete.
Yeah.
He tells the story of being an unused substitute on his high school track team. And then one day, a teammate missed the meet. He jumped in to literally high jump, and he broke the school record that day.
I love this.
Like, which just kind of shows that metaphor of, like, being ready on the bench.
Warm on the bench, ready to step up.
Like, think about, like, how many times in sports you see, like, Tom Brady was a backup, like, in college.
Yeah.
He was a backup for the Patriots. Somebody went down.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan. I guess we should give black examples.
We'll give Brady his due. It's fine.
Well, there's so many examples of people that were just ready. They weren't in that top spot just yet, but their opportunity came.
Listen, sometimes it puts a fire under you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Side story.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started running when I was 12, 13 years old, and I lived in Louisiana at the time.
Okay.
We had a really good team. State championship team. I was on our 4x4 team. Low-key flex. I've been on 3 state championship 4x4 100 meter relay teams.
That's big.
In 2 states.
Wow.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Seriously. But anyway, so I come to New Jersey.
I think you need to be tested for performance enhancing drugs.
Nobody was thinking that I was using any kind of performance enhancing drugs. Not as skinny as I was. But in any case, what I wouldn't give to, well, I wouldn't want to be that size, but anyway. So I come to New Jersey. Nobody really knows me. They're trying to assess where I am. And the first outdoor meet of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you go to a dual meet or certain meets and you can enter multiple relay teams, I was put on the B team.
Mm.
And I was like, I ain't never been on nobody's B team. Like, what are you talking about?
This is which high school?
This is at Franklin.
At Franklin.
Yeah, this is here. I'm new. So they don't really know.
Your high school's great.
You know, so, they just really didn't know. Mm-hmm. And worse, I was going up against an athlete from Piscataway that I knew personally.
Mm.
I might actually see her this weekend, but it's just one of those things where we are not racing.
Y'all should race.
We are not racing, but it put a fire under me because I was just like, don't you know who I am? Mm. Like, you better put some respect on my name.
You clearly beat the other person.
I probably did, but I made it to the 18.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. And we won 2 state championships after that.
That's what's up.
I'm not saying because of me, but I was.
You were.
I did my flex. All right, no more flexing. There. No more storytelling.
What was your
for
time
today?
Your best 400 time.
On a relay, 57 something.
Okay.
Yeah. Not bad for a middle
that's
distance.
That's pretty good.
For a middle distance runner? Hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, my best was like 49 something.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You ran a 49?
Yeah.
In the 90s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. But guys were running 47s. Like regularly.
Nobody
like,
was running 47ers regularly in the 90s.
Yes,
no, they were not.
Yeah, they were.
No, they were not.
Okay. I was there. I remember getting smoked. 47s were happening.
Don't make me go pull out newspaper clippings.
You. All right, go look.
You have some from the yearbook. I have some from the actual newspaper.
Okay. All right.
Dudes were not running 47 regularly in the 90s.
I'm telling you, 48 was like the number, but there were some 47s for sure.
maybe a splits on relays, because, you know, that could be
not like
a
out
little...
the blocks guys were running 47.
Nobody's running 47 in the 90s. It wasn't like a regular thing.
All right. In 1995, the public school meter champions, you won the 448.5.
That's the winner.
No, that was...
So that means nobody was running 47s.
No, I'm telling you. There was a dude from, what was that school? It's in Newark. There was a guy that I was enrolled with. Ron Turner. Let me see. Ron Turner. I stand corrected. He says 48.6. Maybe he lied. maybe the 47 was on a split. Maybe it was on a split.
Yeah, okay. Which could be different. But my point, though, is I'm not saying nobody ran it.
It just wasn't.
But I'm also not saying everybody wasn't running it.
Yeah.
I know these things.
Okay, fine.
It's numbers and my sport.
So I, like, true confession.
Yeah.
I was very good in track.
Uh-huh.
I hated it.
Mm.
So.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I hated it sometimes,
I ran some really good times.
Mm-hmm.
Did not want to keep running.
So, I hear you. I understand.
Just running in circles. All right. So let's get back into this. So other companies that have black CEOs, big companies, Lowe's Home Improvement Store. A lot of people know that, right? Lowe's.
I did not
Marvin
know that.
Marvin Ellison.
Did not know.
Mm-hmm. 61-year-old CEO. Now, Marvin Ellison.
What's the forward PE? I'm going to have to look at Lowe's again.
Marvin Ellison has led two Fortune 500 companies because he also used to be the CEO of JCPenney's. He attended Emory University for his MBA and the University of Memphis for college.
Hmm.
Now, the beautiful thing about Marvin's story, it's like really starting from the bottom. Like, his first job was being a part-time security guard at Target, where he made $4.35 an hour.
Wow.
And he paid for himself to go to college. He spent decades learning every facet of retail operations. He literally worked his way up. And he's an example of, like, servant leadership. You know, like, growing up in rural Tennessee, working his way through college, making minimum wage. Trey, you know what that's like. I do too. Not $4. I mean $5.
Started from the bottom.
What was minimum wage when you started working?
I feel like it was $3.85. I'm not even exaggerating though. You're laughing because you think
I'm just like,
it's
man,
not
I ain't
possible.
Coming. I ain't coming. Oh gosh.
What was it?
Federal minimum wage in 1990. It went from $3.35 up to $3.80. So if you made $3.85, you were balling.
Let me tell you something. I worked at Rally's Hamburgers on the corner of St. Charles and can't remember the cross street in New Orleans, Louisiana.
That is low.
I told this story before.
$3?
It cost me $1.50 to get to work on the bus.
Oh my God.
Took me $1.50 to get to work.
Mm.
We had these uniforms.
Yo, I respect
the polo
you so much more
and
now.
And the black chino pants.
Yeah,
and
I
the
respect
boat
you so much
and the
more.
Silly looking hat. Yeah.
$3.80 per hour.
An hour.
They couldn't just pay you $4. Like, these companies be so petty.
Like, I probably had to work an hour to buy a value meal.
Oh my God.
At Rally's Hamburgers.
Oh my God. I remember one time, like, they would give us free. Well, really, you're supposed to get half off for our food at Roy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
One time I piled up my plate, because sometimes the manager would just give tea for free. And I piled up my plate and my manager's sitting there tallying my stuff. I'm like, he's like, that'll be $8. I'm like, $8? Like, that's like 2 hours of work after taxes.
You tell these
he
kids that
me.
Today,
yeah,
they would be like.
I respect you so much more now. Okay, let's talk about other big companies.
And I took a bus to my job.
Yeah.
Yes. With the transfer.
Put some respect.
I had to transfer bus lines.
Yeah.
Because I worked so far. Yeah.
We got TIA CREF, teacher,
yes.
Which stands for Teachers Insurance Annuity Association.
Yes.
Okay. Teachers.
Tashunda Brown Jug.
Teachers. They call it teachers, but this is like the largest retirement plan provider.
Yes.
For public school.
Yep.
And a lot of private school employees.
Yes.
Teachers, TIA CREF, they used to call it.
Sora Brown Duckett.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's a finance and marketing degree from University of Houston and an MBA from Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely representing Texas, along with DST.
And she's one of only two black women leading a Fortune 500 company right now.
That's right.
She famously speaks about the tax of being a woman of color in finance.
That's right. Sounds like she was listening to our episode, or maybe we were inspired by her.
That's exactly
right. The sister tax.
Next, we got to talk about Southern Company.
Christopher Womack. No relation to Bobby. I knew where you were going. No relation that we know of.
Across 110th Street.
I don't even know that song.
You don't know that song?
No.
That is a good song.
I had to look into that.
It's not safe for children, it's all about
If You Think You're Lonely Now. It's all about that song.
Wait until tonight, girl.
Hurdy actually was not a nice guy, but anyone who sings that song like that with that much conviction probably is not.
Didn't he like take Sam Cooke's?
I think I heard that.
He showed up at Sam Cooke's funeral in Sam Cooke's suit that was given to him by Sam Cooke's wife, who he then took for himself.
Yeah.
That was his best friend.
Messy.
Yeah. If you think
may he rest
now.
In peace? I don't know. But I should just skip that.
Christopher Womack has nothing to do with it. I'm sure.
Bobby Womack.
I mean, in my
mind.
But
we all thought it.
For sure.
Well, we both thought it.
Yeah, so.
Hey, listeners, let us know if when you heard the name, Bobby Womack crossed your mind or not. Indulge us, please.
Yeah. We got to get a platform where we will actually receive these messages that we put out there.
I know, right? It's probably not.
I'm thinking Threads. Maybe we'll do Threads.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna run that by our compliance team.
Yeah, I'm thinking Threads because we had a really big following on Twitter, and like Twitter just feels like
wrong.
Feels like a cesspool. Now.
Yeah. Yep. Threads it is.
I don't know if Threads is much better, but hey.
Political science degree, Mr. Womack from Western Michigan University, and a master's in public administration from American University.
Mm-hmm.
He started as a legislative aide on Capitol Hill, actually.
Mm-hmm. Flipped it.
Yep. He actually talked about it giving him a unique perspective on how policy drives industry. That's important.
Yeah. And Southern, by the way, is a big energy company. So they have a bunch of brands throughout the South. You've got Alabama Power, Georgia Power. I know our Atlanta listeners know and hate that company, I'm sure. Mississippi Power, and then Southern Company Gas.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, especially being in the energy industry, mm-hmm. that would definitely make sense about how he would make the connection between policy and industry.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense.
Next, you've got Exelon, another utility company.
Mm.
So Exelon, like their big brands, like their big one that I hate the most is BGE, Baltimore Gas and Electric. Yes. Exelon.
I was like, what beef you have with them? But I got it.
Yeah, it's like they keep sending us these bills at the dry cleaners. And when I had gyms, we got bills there too.
You got to pay for power, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, so Exelon's brands include Atlantic City Electric in Jersey, BGE in Baltimore, ComEd, C-O-M-Ed, Delmarva Power, Pico, and Pepco. Pepco is another one I love to hate.
Hmm.
So they are big in the East Coast. Why are we running these utilities like this? They must know something.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. Like,
why does Atlantic City have its own electric?
Yeah.
Its own utilities company.
I'm sure there's a good story for that.
Hmm.
The next company is David Bozeman, C.H. Robinson. That is a logistics company, publicly traded, big logistics company. He is an expert in lean manufacturing, which is how to make more with less, how to make sure you're not wasting stuff and whatnot.
You knew that was a black man.
Yeah. He worked at Ford, Caterpillar, and he was at Amazon for a while.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. C.H. Robinson. Another is Kohl's. Did you know Kohl's is a black company?
Did not.
Black Lead.
Michael Bender.
Mm-hmm. Graduate of Stanford University, an MBA from Northwestern. He's known for his people first leadership. He was at Walmart back in the day. And he stepped into Kohl's in 2025 to lead their digital transformation. Another company that was struggling at the time. Like, we are the life support providers is what
we
do.
Seriously. You know, that tracks though with his motto, or his belief, rather, that the frontline associate is the most important person person in a company, not the CEO.
Yeah.
And for many companies, that is the case. Your experience begins mm-hmm. with the first person you see, which is never the CEO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other CEOs, we got M&T Bank. I bank with them. I mean, also, haven't had great experiences.
I was going to say, didn't you have some?
But Renee Jones, Renee's a man, by the way, in case mm-hmm. you were wondering.
Okay.
He's a graduate of Boston College. He's an MBA from the University of Rochester, 61 years old. He joined M&T in 1992 and never left. And that's actually interesting because today everybody's jumping around, especially like at this C-level.
Yeah.
Like people are jumping from one place to the next, paycheck to paycheck. And
it's about like the coaching tenures.
Yeah. A lot of like non-CEOs be jumping around too. Especially young folks. Young folks are jumping around.
And he's been loyalty whatsoever.
He's a legendary CEO. He's been the M&T Bank CEO for 30 years. Under his leadership, M&T has outperformed the financial sector for many years. They do a lot better than a lot of other banks. Black led.
Just not for you.
I still bank with them.
Okay.
I still like their locations are exactly where my dry cleaners are. So like,
oh, you know, okay.
Cash only. Like I deposit the cash and wire it out, but I bank with them for sure.
Joy Harris, DTE Energy.
Mm-hmm. Another energy company.
Another energy company. What's cool about her story is she's from Detroit and went on to become a CEO of a company that powered her city.
I love that.
That's kind of cool. I mean, that's speaking to some loyalty again.
She put the whole city on her back. Y'all wouldn't even have lights if it weren't for me.
Listen.
She's one of the few Black women to lead a major energy provider. Big shout to Joy Harris. And then finally, we have David Rawlinson, who is the CEO, 49 years old, the CEO of QVC. Isn't that home shopping?
It's a type of home shopping network, which is a different home shopping network. Mm-hmm. But yes. Didn't they have some operations in Somerset, New Jersey?
QVC?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm making stuff up. Like, I would tell people where I lived, and they would be like, back in the day when I lived in Somerset.
Yeah.
Where people would be like, oh, QVC. And I'm like, what? I didn't get the connection.
So QVC is a big company. You know, you see them on TV. They're in more than 200 million homes worldwide. They have 15 television networks. They're available on cable TV, satellite TV, free over-the-air TV. And they also have their streaming services, QVC Plus and Home Shopping Network Plus. I think you got to be like a shopping fiend to sign to get to pay for Home Shopping Network Plus. But hey, they're doing it. And they got a Black CEO, so I'm not mad at that. So we've highlighted a bunch of leaders. We started with sports. We moved into the corporate world. And let's keep it going. We're going to talk about some other visionaries, some moguls, some leaders that you may not know about. We'll go to break. We come back. We'll keep this Black leadership conversation going.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
All right, so we're back. We're back. We're back. I am Sir Scratchy Voice.
For sure. And I'm Dame Make Fun a Lot.
So, you know, Black history, like often in this month, it's like the same names you're hearing about every time.
But we're giving you some different ones.
You're hearing about Carter G. Woodson, Booker T. Washington,
Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks.
These are great people.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But like, yo, don't you want to be able to walk in to the next happy hour and talk about the CEO of one of these companies where you might bank, or that is your electric company, or?
So the sad part is, though, outside of us, sometimes I feel like outside of our community, we have to keep talking about the same people, but it's not helping.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not framing this well, but I feel like there's so many people outside of our community that still don't know the same people we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. Number one. The other challenge there is that if you only talk about those warriors from long ago, it doesn't help instill pride in some of our heroes of today that people need to know.
Yeah, no, it's a fact.
Yeah.
I think we got to know all of them. We got to know the old ones and the new ones. And the thing is, like, sometimes when you focus on Black history, there's almost like this view of, you know, we haven't been great since we invented.
That's what I mean.
The peanut.
Yeah.
Butter,
if you don't highlight some of the current leaders, then that is exactly what it perpetuates.
Mm-hmm.
Intended or unintended.
Yeah. And like, we are out here quietly putting in the work. I say quietly because, you know, if prior to this show, but prior to you seeing these notes, Dre, this is me putting you on the spot. Could you have named 3 Black CEOs of publicly traded companies prior to this show?
I could definitely name 2.
Okay.
And I would have been aware of a 3rd, but not known the name without seeing it.
So there you go. So you got 10 now. You got 10.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. We increased your knowledge by
30%.
No, you said you had 3. Now you got 10.
Oh.
Yeah, that's.
I was like thinking the other way.
That's like triple.
I was thinking I had 7.
Yeah, you tripled
it.
I got
3 more.
Yeah, now you tripled it. So we're going to get into some more Black leaders that maybe you've heard of some of these people, maybe you haven't, but like, we're super proud of them and you need to know about them. So Dre, you want to start?
I will start because this is one of my idols.
Okay.
Or not idol, I would say inspirations for the work I do today.
Okay.
Melody Hobson.
Yes.
Who's on the board at Starbucks and has a leadership role at Ariel Investments.
Mm-hmm.
Melody was raised by a single mom, and she became the first Black woman to chair an S&P 500 board.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Melody when she was a financial contributor on Good Morning America, probably in the late 90s or early 2000s. She gave me hair inspiration, but she also spoke about personal finance in plain English,
mm-hmm.
which made me think I could be an advisor.
Wow.
And she had a dope haircut. And you know what? I just met her in person in October or November.
Did you geek out? I know you did.
I did. Here was the thing. I was on my way to a session where she was the speaker.
Uh-huh.
And I looked more closely at my notes and saw that she had written a children's book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kicking myself for not having done my homework to have gotten a copy of the book so that she could sign it.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally saw her as she was walking with her team on the way to the session, which we weren't allowed in the room yet. And when I say I geeked out, like, I stopped in my tracks. I couldn't speak. None of them saw me, but I just stood there with my mouth hanging open. If I'm on someone's security camera, you can clearly see I was starstruck.
Wow, that's dope.
So now, if we post a picture for this episode, you got to post the picture with me and Melody Hobson.
Oh, that's dope. We can do that. We can do that. Yeah, that's dope.
The irony is, I thought I was having a bad hair day, and I was just like, her hair was always perfectly coiffed. But she built, she's a Princeton grad. She worked with her mentor just by spending time around him and picking up some of his good behaviors,
Ariel,
and he gave her a job.
John Rogers. Yeah.
John Rogers. I couldn't think of his name at the moment. But yeah, anyway, that's my Melody Hobson story. Right.
So I see your Melody Hobson, and I raise you Sandra Douglas Morgan. She is the president of the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm really excited about this. So my brother is a huge sports fan.
Mm.
He's a season ticket holder of the Las Vegas Raiders. And
you've been to some games.
Yeah. Ever since they moved to Vegas, me and my brother have had like the occasion of going to Vegas once a year or sometimes twice a year for games. We just came back from Giants Raiders and the stadium's beautiful. It's just a great experience. And like, I did not know that they had a black woman president. That's a big deal.
I did not know this.
She took the helm of this team during a period of really significant cultural turmoil for the franchise. She really came up as a city attorney. She became the gaming commissioner. And she used that leadership being a homegrown Las Vegas native who was well-educated, an attorney, and like a mover and a shaker to be able to lead this team and have a big impact in that community. And people love the Raiders.
Yes.
And big shout to Sandra Douglas Morgan.
That's right. So I saw something in print about her that said, what you said was that she was a native Las
Vegasan? I don't know what they call themselves.
Right.
Las Vegas person.
So in print, it was V-E-G-A-N, which to me is vegan.
Vegan? Las Vegan?
So I'm like, is it Las Vegan or is it Las Vegan? I don't know. I literally saw it and thought, I can't wait to see how you're going to pronounce this.
Yeah.
But you just went straight for the a native of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
When I can't say stuff, I just say it different. That's fine. So other people we got to shout out, Rafael Bostic. He's the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, which is one of the 12 regional banks of the Fed. Why are you making that face?
I'm just surprised I haven't heard his name as someone that the current occupant of the White House is trying to get rid of. But that's not the Board of Governors.
He's on the Board of Governors.
Right.
Yeah,
so
he is.
He's black. It's Georgia. He's black.
Well, you know they tried to get rid of the black woman. They already.
Oh, you know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. Also a sore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she won, by the way.
She did.
You don't hear
but
that.
I'm just saying, like.
Oh, I'm sure they came for him.
The chips are stacked again, but I didn't hear anything about
it. So yet. Rafael Bostic, not only is he black, he's also openly gay and the first openly gay person of any race to lead a regional Federal Reserve Bank. He grew up in a household where education was the ultimate currency. And at the Fed, he's all about inclusive growth. Basically, his view is that the economy can't reach its full potential until the barriers facing marginalized communities are dismantled. Like,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about them coming for him.
Yeah. Well, let's speak positively over my man.
Yes.
Positivity over his name. We hope it doesn't come to that point. And Rafael Bostic, by the way, grew up in Jersey. Big shout to Jersey. His father worked at the post office. His mama was a school teacher. He was in the Obama administration.
Didn't know any of this.
Rafael Bostic.
So let's end with a Hamptonian.
Okay.
All right. So we've got Sashi Brown, the president of the Baltimore Ravens. Although he completed his undergrad at Hampton, he's a Harvard law degree. And he led the $450 million stadium renovation. Is that still going on?
I don't think they've started yet.
Okay.
So it's definitely still going on. Or if they did, they're doing it quietly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But Sashi's a friend. I've known Sashi for a while. God bless him and his family. He is the second black team president in NFL history. The first was Jason Wright of the Washington Commanders.
He has had a really
interesting story. He was a lawyer at WilmerHale in D.C. While he was in D.C., by the way, people don't know this, but like Sashi actually had a restaurant / lounge.
Him
and his brother that they ran for a while.
Okay.
He then landed with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2005. He became general counsel, which is really like he was part of the Jags, like the naming right deal for their stadium. Like he negotiated that. He then went to the Browns, and he stayed at the Browns for about 4 years. He was the EVP of football operations, and it was a tough time to be at the Browns, right? Like, the Browns have been on a rebuild for a long time, but like,
a long time.
He made some really shrewd salary cap moves, some asset accumulation moves in terms of trading, and he was really viewed as the person that set up the foundation for them to improve, which they're building upon. You got Shador now.
Well, we'll see.
Pro bowler, by the way.
that's funny how that happened.
But prior to being the president of the Ravens, he was with Monumental Sports, which owns the Wizards, the Mystics, and the Capital City Go-Go of the NBA G League. So he's done football. He's done basketball. He's done DC.
He's on the board of trustees at his alma mater.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's done the Cleveland Browns. He's done the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, he is, like...
He's that guy.
And he's young. Like, yeah. Sashi's...
Yeah, he's younger than me.
Like, maybe 50 years old. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And great way to end the show. Like...
I agree.
Today was just about shining the light on Black leaders that maybe you never heard of, maybe you have, but maybe you didn't know their story. There's so many like negatives. Like, yeah, we started with a negative. Yeah, we started with the fact that 10 vacancies, none of them got filled by Black leaders.
You saw my tilted head. Like, we did? Like, there's no negative here, but yeah.
Like, look at all the other great leaders who are doing great things. And like I said earlier, I'd rather have 10 publicly traded CEOs than 10 head coaches anyway. Although really, I want both.
Yeah. That's so greedy.
We hope you enjoyed the show today. I'm sorry about my voice.
I hope Alan feels better, or at least sounds better. No, I want you to feel better too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel fine. I feel good.
Okay. Yeah.
I did get scared that I might have permanently like lost my voice because it's been like...
Permanently?
I know two people that like lost their voices permanently.
What?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Okay. I'm not going to say what I was thinking.
Right here, so yeah. I need to be able to talk.
Yeah, how's that disability insurance?
Oh, I got some disability.
Exactly.
I hope to not have to use it.
I hope the same, but go take care of yourself.
You want to do the altar call? Please, before we go.
Absolutely. As always, we appreciate you listening. And if you'd like to get a second opinion or get some high-level advice, feel free to go to our website and schedule a complimentary consultation with Alan or myself or both of us or any of our advisors. And we'll be happy to have a brief conversation and give you our thoughts and recommendations.
Yeah, because we're not just podcast hosts and Black history experts. We're also financial advisors.
We're
darn good at our job.
Agreed.
Keep listening. We'll be back in a week.
That's right. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Momentum. Momentum.